iTunes, subscribe to the Jersey Board Sports Talk podcast. That's a lot of alliteration right there. Okay. And please leave a rating and review. It'll help us tremendously. And please smash the subscribe button below and share it to smart sports fans wherever they may be. We're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Thursday between 8. We're starting at what time, Byron? 8?
Again?
Did you lose me again?
No, I'm back. It's going crazy over here for some reason.
Okay, all right. You can also listen to us through smart speaker. Just say, play Jersey Boy Sports Talk. Byron, how you doing?
Wonderful. And all this heat, how are you doing?
I'm melting just like you are. By the way, everyone, my name is not Victor Orocho. My name is John Ronenberg. I am a contributor to the show every once in a while and filling in for Vic for a little bit tonight, and glad to do it. So this weather, man, God, I went out. I actually had a chance to go out and get some exercise today. Get my steps in.
Right.
And I even cut it short, and I was drenched by the time I got back to the house. It's that bad out right now. And it's not really the heat necessarily, but you know what they always say? It's the humidity. So,
yes. And, you know, I feel bad.
But how are you doing up there in Lancaster?
The same. It's still hot.
Okay. I've lost audio. So,
again?
Okay. I can't. I'm sorry, guys. I can't hear Byron.
You can't hear me?
Can you hear me? I heard you there. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's still the same pretty much here, you know, 90 some degrees. And, you know, went to go help out my mother today shopping, and it was sweltering in the parking lot at Walmart. So yeah, it's hot everywhere.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're supposed to get some rain, but unfortunately I was going to bring us thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow morning. So yay. Anyway, tonight we're going to talk about the NFC East. Of course, the Giants as always. The Cowboys, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington Commanders. Now, I got some notes from you earlier today, Byron. I'm going to get to them right now. Let's go ahead and talk about a couple things. Let's see. Hold on. First up, training camp starting soon.
Yes, it is for everybody.
Yeah, rookies are starting. Most of them are starting on the 19th, except for the Cowboys. Everyone starts on the 25th of July, but once again, it's the Cowboys, so. Who really cares?
I've been out there to that complex in Oxnard. You talk about hot. You think this is hot? Go out there to Oxnard, California, right this time of season.
Oh, yeah.
Cooking when I went out there. I was like, man, they can keep that. But, yeah, you know, for the most part, you know, 18 Giants, the Jets are 19, Eagles are 25th, Washington's the 21st, your Denver Broncos are the 19th. You know, I had to throw that in. So
I know you did. Thank you. I did want to touch on something. You're talking about going into a rookie camp and all that. As a former NFL player yourself, I've often wondered, what was it like for you going into that first camp?
Like, I mean, it was interesting because, like, the first time, that was the first time we really ran, you know, like, extended time with Bud Grant. And it was just weird, man, the first day. You sit there and remember how we used to do up-downs? Like, you know, you did it for punishment or whatever. Dude, we started off practice with up-downs. Like, I mean, a lot, you know, up, down, up. They did front, back. I mean, it seemed like it was forever. And I'm sitting, I had been up there in Minnesota since, like, April after I got drafted. So I stayed up there. You know, I worked out up there. And, you know, the mini camps and stuff. And then, and I thought I was in shape. And I went there, and they started doing the up-down. And I was like, man, this is the beginning of practice. What the hell? I was like, oh, my God. And I'm watching the veterans, and they're doing it like it was no big deal. And I think they had, like, a system the way they did it. You know, they knew that's what his thing. But by the time we finished doing them up-downs, man, I was done the rest of the day. I mean, I was already wobbling. And we still had, you know, three-hour practice. And yeah, you know, and it was 2 days at Mankato State where we were. It was hot.
Yeah,
not like hot, like, but like humid and muggy, and it was awful. The first day.
Well, you know, and what were you feeling? I mean, besides the physical part of it, I know you stayed up there since you got drafted. What was your mindset going into that first camp? You know, I always go back to the story of Lyle Alzado when he showed up at Broncos camp, you know, the first day. And he's like, I'm here to prove something. You know, the next person gets in my way, I'm going to stand up and show him I'm for real. And then a towel dropped on his leg and he picked it up. And he's dropped a towel on me. He goes to stand up and he sees a tattoo that says Stonewall, Rich Tombstone Jackson.
Really?
And Lyle Alzado holds that towel. He looks at Tombstone, looks at the towel. Mr. Jackson, sir, I think you dropped your towel.
Really? Lyle Alzado, the boxing tough guy.
Yeah. He was scared to death of Rich Tombstone Jackson. So,
because I went up there with like Dave Casper had showed up, one of tight end from the Raiders. He was there with his dogs. I remember that. Tommy Kramer, you know, these are all the guys that I had seen growing up. You know, a lot of them, you know, when I was playing, you know, as a kid, you know, like Tommy Kramer is a quarterback. Joey Browner was the safety there. We had, we had, Chris Dolman was the number one pick that year for them. We had Isaac Holt, who ended up, you know, had more success with the Dallas Cowboys. Rams. And the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It was a he was a part of that trade, Isaac. And, you know, it was just the idea of, you know, man, I saw these guys on TV, and now I'm out here with them getting ready to do, I'm their equal, well, kind of, sort of, but, you know, as far as, you know, being out here. And then, you know, some of the, we had, Pete Carroll, one of the coaches there, and Bud Grant and Floyd Peters. You know, we had a lot of, borderline Hall of Fame coaches there. And it was just, like starstruck, you know, the first day. And you sit there, then you realize, like, you know what, man, I'm trying to get somebody's job. And, you know, these guys are really not trying to, you know, like, here to help you or whatever. Now, they're not going to steer you wrong as far as you're doing something crazy. But, you know, you're here, you know, you're trying to take some, you know, grown man's job. I'm 22 years old. And I'm coming here to take this, you know, job. And it was just, we had Keith Millar, but the other guy too we had. And but it was just weird, man, the first day, man. But I distinctly remember the up-down. That really shook me up the first day.
Well, you know, and I'm going to, you know, nothing like that, but just, you know, training camp stories. You know, I'm not a big dude, okay? And that was my thing when first visited Uppsala, met Spencer Lester. Remember that name? Yeah. He was the guy that showed me around. And you know, I go into the first day, my dad drops me off. Okay, that night, and I got all my bags and everything, and I'm like, I look around. I'm like, wait a minute, these guys ain't that much bigger than me. Of course, then you see Chris Wilson. Remember Chris? Hmm. You know, and he was my roommate during camp. So. Good guy. But yeah, I think, you know, after you get to that first practice with Division III school, you're going to be okay. But I can't even imagine what it'd been like going to the NFL and getting into that type of situation.
And the other thing I remember, it was the training, you know, it was a college, you know, dorms that we stayed in.
Yeah.
And no air conditioning.
It was
that they had. You know, you had your roommate, you and your roommate, and they had the doors at either end of the dorm were open, and they had a fan in the door blowing this hot air, you know, going, you know, down the hallway. You're like, this is like an NFL, you know, something here, and you know, we got a fan in the door and whatever. And then, you know, the guys sneaking out, you know, the veterans sneaking out, getting all drunk up. They had a bar that they all hung out. Even the ones that were smoking, it was like, damn, the guy's smoking and drinking. But the best was the food, because everything was catered.
Oh yeah.
The first dinner I went up there, it was like steak and lobster, Then another day it was like steak and crab legs. I'm like, man, I had this at the University of Tulsa. Look at this stuff, man. They eat like kings there. But it was great. You know, I'm glad, you know, I got a chance to experience. But it was just the up downs. That's the now it's got my head right
I'm
now.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get that in your head.
Oh my God, man, it was brutal.
Well, you know, one of the things you did text me earlier, and this is one we talked about last couple of weeks, was Saquon. Evidently, there's a stalemate right now, and they're trying to get a deal reached by the 17th.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was it, $12.5 million?
It's technically the 15th.
The 15th, okay.
Yeah, the 15th, yeah.
So, and I know we've talked about it in the past. I'm going to bring up, and I don't like using the word legacy. You know that. You know, I think, you know, when a person performs, that is their legacy.
Right.
You know, Michael Jordan, he doesn't need to be remembered, you know, commercially. Everyone remembers him as Michael Jordan. Those who saw him play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Elway, Manning, you know, Sims, you know, even what was the guy, Hostetter.
Hostetter, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, those are guys that had that, you know, we talk about legacy. They don't need to embellish it. That's who they are. They prove themselves.
Yep.
But now I'm going to use the word in a way that, you know, I don't like to use it. What do you think this is going to do to Saquon's legacy?
It's going to make him look money hungry. That, you know, pretty much. That's my opinion. It's going to make him look like, you know, that it's all about me and, you know, I'm trying to get as much money, you know, for me, and, you know, not thinking about the team, you know, as far as the way, hey, you know, we're successful last year, you know, running the ball and, you know, doing what we did. And now all of a sudden, you know, the guy's looking to get paid, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, we talked about this 1,000 times, you know, if his agent should have thought about the whole running back market and the way it's changed, that they're not paying these guys the money that they're paying them anymore. And I got into it with a guy today, you know, with the whole, you know, they should just go ahead and give them the money. And, you know, I'm trying to explain this guy, it doesn't work like that. And it really doesn't.
Yeah. We did talk about it last week about the running back by committee and everything and how that works for some teams. As a Giants fan and as a former NFL player, knowing the scheme that the Giants run, that Dable likes to run, do you think that's something that if this falls through, and it looks like it is going to, I'm not trying to be a naysayer, you know that, but it looks like this is going to fall through. What is plan B? Do you go after Zeke Elliott?
No, do you try to go after, you got to pay him too.
Yeah. Or do you go after the kid from Minnesota?
No, you're going to have to – me personally, okay, you save the money, you know, for him whenever he decides to come in, but you're going to have to run with what you got. You know, Matt Breida is not a bad back at all. They got, you know, a kid they drafted from Oklahoma, Eric Gray, is not a bad running back at all. They're just going to have to go with what they got, because why would you go ahead and spend $6 million to bring in, you know, Elliott or Dalvin Cook or, you know, one of these guys, because you're going to have to pay them.
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, they're going to come in and say, oh, well, you know, we'll take, you know, $1 million and, you know, whatever. Because when I was looking up today, the average running back pay is $1.7 million for a whole week, the average. And that's not as high as I thought.
And you know, we talked also recently about, you know, you have the top guys at running back. And it's always been that way. They're the ones, the Walter Paytons, you know, the Roger Craigs, Barry Sanders. I'm going to throw Terrell in there out of vanity. You know, I was going to do that anyway. With Damian Tomlinson, okay? These are guys that, you know, were so good, but they also were savvy enough to know what their shelf life was going to be. I think Terrell probably wanted to play a couple more years, but that knee just went by,
you
know? And you have guys that they get what they can because they know that the shelf life for, we'll just say tailback, all right? We won't even say running back because there are still some fullbacks out there. But as a tailback, we're looking at, you know, 3 to 5 year stops. Anyone that makes it past that threshold, okay, and stays healthy, I think they have something special to offer. And I think that those are the guys that need to get that extra cabbage, so to speak.
Look at the guys you mentioned. They were never hurt.
No, they weren't.
Peyton, played, what, 12 years, never hurt. Barry Sanders, 10 years, never hurt. Adrian Peterson played 1,000 years, never hurt. Frank Gore tore up his knee, you know, in college a couple of times, never hurt, you know, got to the pros, and then run for 16,000 yards or whatever he's run for. You know, you have, a 100 running backs, you maybe have 5 that, you know, can play, you know, 5, 6, 10, 11 years, you know, and play at a high level. I'm sure if they put through Adrian Peterson out there now, at his age, he probably could rush for 100 yards if he was right behind the right line. It's just that they're special. And Saquon, you know, nothing against the guy. Love him to death. I said, but he's been injured.
Yeah.
And then last year, the second half, you know, the season, he slowed down tremendously. Because he was running the ball, catching the ball, blocking the, you know, everything he had to do, you know, to help him win. And, you know, maybe like with the Eagles, that running back by committee thing, it works, is going to save him. But do you want to pay a back $15 million that's not going to carry the ball 250 right. times or 300 times. Do you really want to spend that kind of money?
And you mentioned the injury thing. And, of course, you know, my brain goes back to Colorado with Javonte Williams, a kid who it's a 4.3 yard per carry average, which that's damn good.
Yeah.
But once again, we bring the I word into it, injury. So, you know, I've been reading all the press. Oh, he says he's ready to come back. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Broncos fans, and they're the glass half full type thing.
Right.
And I'm the let's add some whiskey to that. So I douse it with a little bit of reality. I want Javonte Williams to be awesome. I think he could be a great player. But the I word comes up. Now, granted, the injury was not his fault. You look who he was playing for last year, Nate Hackett, who can't hack it, and a basically a piecemeal offensive line. They were terrible, you know. They're going to be better this year. You know, they picked up some good players. They're going to be in shape, which they weren't because they didn't play in any preseason games last year, which Victor, last year I was like, no, it's fine. They don't need to play. They're resting. Well, now yeah, I'm like – Yeah, and now I'm like, yeah, I was an idiot. You know, they need to play because you got to get up to game speed.
Yeah,
you know, and it's amazing when you and a lot of people don't understand this, you know, but when you go even from a high school level to even D3, the speed of the game is so much different. Okay, I was gassed that first practice, and that's when they moved me to receiver. And I'm like, what? I don't know how to do that. What are you doing? No, don't do that. You know, but the speed of it's so much faster. And then if you're a rookie coming into the NFL, okay, you have, you know, you're in practice and, you know, other guys are going half speed, kind of like what you mentioned earlier. And you're going full speed and you got to catch up. And I think coming back from an injury like that, and also, you know, having an offensive line that's actually going to play at full speed in game situations, really part of the game situation. Because, you know, Sean Payton, not going to let anyone rest.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not saying we're playoff bound, but, hey, I think we could overtake the Chargers.
Yes.
But let's get back to the Giants, all right? What else is going on in Giant land that I don't know about? Because I told Santiago and Vic, I started work at 6 this morning. I didn't get off till 6 tonight. So tell me what's going on, Byron. Teach me.
The only thing that's going on with the Giants is the Saquon situation. Darren Waller being picked as one of the top five tight ends in football. Mm-hmm. Our other starting linebacker, Jarrad Davis, had some undisclosed injury. So he's going to be, as bad as linebacker land. So he's going to be out. And all they said for an extended period of time, but I think they said it was a knee. So he'll probably be done for a whole year. So now we're going to have, you know, the guy that they signed from with the Colts, they'll pay a lot of money for him. Mm-hmm. Darren Beavers, the kid that played at Cincinnati that would have been a starter last year, tore up his knee in preseason. McFadden is the other linebacker. And pretty much it's going to be the same thing like it was last year. Mix and match and scheme and this. Because it's going to be a mess. And Jalen Smith, you know, the kid we have with, you know, Dallas is still floating around out there as a free agent. But they might have to sign somebody because the linebacker position is not looking good at all.
Yeah. You know, when you mentioned that injury, it's like in hockey where they say they don't tell you where the injury is. It's an upper body injury. It's a lower body injury. That's all they give you.
Yeah.
Okay. Gabe Landeskog, the captain of the Avalanche, was out the entire year this year. That's why they didn't get much further in the playoffs because he had a lower body injury. So, you know, when they're not disclosing what it is, you know, it's bad, you know.
And the crazy thing, they just had, you know, the mandatory minicamp, a couple of weeks ago. They just had it. They didn't say it the whole while. They never said anything about this guy being hurt or this or that or out. And then next year, 2 days ago, he's going to be out for a while. It's like, what? So now I guess, you know, Shane has to scour the waiver, you know, who's out there, you know, what free agents are out there, you know, if he has to trade for somebody or whatever. But, yeah, the Giants linebacker situation is going to be something to keep your eye on.
And I will, granted, because I'm in – and we're both in NFC East land, but we're not exactly in the NFC East land. We're stuck near another team I want to talk about a little bit tonight.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, we got to. We got to. I'm sorry. It's, you know, I oh God, and I'm gonna want to wash my mouth out with soap after saying this. I cheered for them in the Super Bowl, man.
You did?
I had to.
Traitor.
Dude, no, my four favorite teams are, you know, the Broncos and anyone who plays the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Chiefs. So, you know, that's and it came down to it. I'm just like, I can't cheer for Mahomes. I can't. I just can't. No, wait, no, don't get me wrong. No, don't get me wrong. He's a once in a lifetime talent. He really is. I would give him his credit. He took a team that if he had not played that first year or actually going to the second year as a starter, Andy Reid would be out of a job. Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, because Andy Reid, Kool-Aid man, whatever you want to call him, because oh yeah, you know, great assistant coach, and he did good things for the Eagles when he was there. Okay, but it was time to go. So let's talk about, you know, with just going off of the situation of linebackers in with the Giants, and the uncertainty in what's that nation's capital? What team was that again? What are they called?
Kirk Danboy.
No. I think that was
Trenton.
the capital during the Revolutionary for about 2 seconds, but
Trenton, New Jersey.
no. Down by Maryland in Virginia.
Oh, that plays DC.
Oh yeah, what's the name of the team again? I can't.
Washington Fakers.
Fakers. All right.
Commander, there you go.
There you. Thank you, Byron. Thank you so much. And for all my Redskin fans out, the friends out there, Commander saying, nee, I'm on a podcast, I can't say it. But you know, the uncertainty there, and the Cowboys are always, you know, the problem with the Cowboys is the hype, I think, because
Always.
everyone expects them to be world beaters every year, every second of the day. They're not. They haven't been. If you want to watch the Super Bowl highlights for the Cowboys, you got to get a VHS or even a Betamax out and watch it. So let's be realistic. There's two teams in the division, okay? The Giants, but then again, Big Green down in Philly. What do the Giants need to do to match up and take the division from the Eagles?
Guess where it always starts? And I love it. The offensive and defensive line.
Two lines, yeah.
If the Giants can't match up with the number one offensive line in all the football, the same thing's going to happen in the playoffs, the 38-7 beatdown that they got. They have to be able to stop the run. They have to be able to stop those receivers, you know, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, who should have been a giant, but you know, that's another day.
Let that go, Byron. Let it go. It's in the
I can't
past. All
let it
right.
go.
All right.
I can't let that go. But yeah, they offensively they're hard to, you know, hard to be. The only thing that people should realize the way they change the with the read option, RPO,
Yeah.
now you can't, he has to be on the side of you or behind you. You can't do it in front of them anymore.
Right. Yeah.
That's the new rule this year. So maybe, you know, because they changed the rule, you know, a little bit, that it's going to affect Jalen Hurts, because that's what he's running, you know, from Oklahoma, Alabama, you know, with the Eagles. That's something. And just tweaking it, just, you know, it's a big difference where you know the guys get the ball here or behind them, than where here, you know, the mesh point is in front and you
Yeah.
don't know if he's going to get the ball. So it's going to be a big difference and something for him to get used to too.
And you know what, I love the option play just as a college football fan. You know, read option in the pros is a little bit different, but now you have that rule behind. I do like that rule where it has to be behind. I never liked it where they could be like on a vertical or maybe even a little ahead. I never liked it. So we'll see what happens. That, you know, that could slow them down. But Jalen Hurts, once again, you know, I haven't. I'm not putting him in that once in a generation quarterback pool yet, but we'll see what happens. The kid's good. He's really good.
He's a kid that worked, you know, I've said this about him. I like him as a player, you know, because he's always worked hard. You know, you never hear anything about him. You know, nothing bad from, you know, when he, you know, lost his job at Alabama, he didn't trash anybody down there. You know, he went to Oklahoma, almost won, you know, the Heisman Trophy, you know, there. Every year he's gotten better, you know, with the Eagles, but it also helps, you know, get him to say it again, that he has the top offensive line in all of football. That helps a lot.
Well, and then, you know, let's take a trip about 40 miles down the road from where I am. Let's talk about Lamar Jackson. Hold on. I've never been a Ravens fan. I was there the day that Peyton hung 50 on him. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was in full Bronco regalia too, I might add.
They let you make it through the stadium?
Oh, they all left like in the third quarter. The stands were empty in the third quarter. That's how bad the beatdown was. All right. I almost got kicked out because some lady said I was drunk and I hadn't had a darn thing to drink that day. But I digress, you know, but I look at Lamar Jackson and I see some similarities with him and Hurts. You know, the one thing I loved about Lamar Jackson, everyone like called him a running back. He's like, oh, okay. Want to see him throw the ball? I'll throw the ball. You know, but I think the thing is with Jalen Hurts, the comparison really doesn't, it falls short there because you have in Jalen Hurts a guy that can do both and was never asked to do one or the other. And I think he is, you know, I'm not putting him in the Mahomes category yet. Give it a couple of years. I may change my mind.
Yeah.
But, and he may get traded to the Giants or, you know, sign a free agent. But Danny Dimes will be a backup for I'm kidding. I love busting on Danny Dimes. I like him. I like Daniel Jones.
My guy.
Yeah, he is your guy. And hey, you proved me wrong. You stood by him.
That's right.
You did. So, you know, and he is putting together a respectable portfolio right now. But after that beatdown in the playoffs, he needs to prove something, I think. You know, I'm glad Victor's not here to kind of rain on the parade because he's like, oh, John, what are you talking about? Are we crazy?
we'd have to hear that. Yeah.
That's pretty good Victor, though, right?
Very good. It sounds like you've heard that 1,000 times.
Because we have. But, all right. What else do you want to talk about tonight? I mean, we're at the point where we talk about everything. We don't have Victor jumping in to sidetrack us.
Well, I want your head to explode with the two things.
Okay.
There, about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is going to have an MVP type season because he's loaded. Oh yeah, loaded a receiver. They got a new offensive coordinator that's going to run into death, and people are going to see that this kid can pass the ball. He is an MVP, you know, winner before the age of 25. Well, he's going to do great. And then this is the one that your head's going to explode. Sam Howell is going to be a lot better with the Washington Commanders than you think.
Here's the thing. The who?
Washington.
I'm kidding.
Commanders.
I've always had mad respect for Ron Rivera. Okay. Really have, always. Even when we, you know, after what Von Miller did to them in the playoffs, Super Bowl 50, I've always had respect for Ron Rivera because you have to understand, I lived in Chicago in the late 80s. I was, you know, the Bears were my second favorite team at the time.
Are you a traitor like that?
No, the Broncos are still my team. Oh, Bears were my second favorite. Okay. And then the Giants fell somewhere, you know, down there. Actually, it's the 90s. So I got to actually see Walter play at Soldier Field. Okay. I talked about Michael and I talk about Walter, and it's, you know, it's your life changes in those moments. But so Ron Rivera, with that, when he played defense for the Bears, I mean, that was one of the best defenses ever. So I have mad respect for
him. He was a great player for that. Yeah.
He was probably the most unrecognized member of that defense because you got to look, you have Wilbur Marshall, Singletary, all those guys, Richard Dent. The Fridge was in there. McMichael, Mongo.
Dan Hampton.
Oh, Danny Hampton. Guy with no fluid in his knees whatsoever, and he went out every single game.
Really?
We're talking bone on bone. Yeah, his knees were in rough shape. And I know what that's like now, okay, but I'm 55, so, and he was doing it in his 20s and 30s, so.
That hurts thinking about it.
It does. You know, thank God for Bengay and BioFreeze. That's all I'm saying right now. And the full sleeve knee compressors. But, you know, so Ron Rivera, I'll bust on the Redskin fans all I want to. But Ron Rivera has my respect. It's actually Redskin. I mean, it's never Commanders fans.
I'm telling you, man, they got good receivers, good running game. The defense is really good, you know, with the guys that they have up front, the four up front. And Chase Young is a proven season because they declined his fifth-year option. So they're going to be a little bit better than people think they are.
And, you know, too, with that, they had flashes last year. In fact, they've had flashes ever since Kirk Cousins has left, that there's something was going to happen. All right. It's just, I'm a little disappointed it's taken this long for them to get to that point. But I think you're going to see, I agree with you. I think the Redskins are did it again. And I still view it as a racist term. I'm sorry, I do. But, you know, I still think the Commanders are one of those teams that are going to be, they're a surprise team this year. They won't be a surprise to us because we've talked about it. But I think even to their fans, they're going to be, Rocky, what's going on?
You know why they're going to be much better? Because the teams get ready to get sold as soon as they get
the same
response. That's going to help a lot, Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, the same thing happened, you know, with, and I'll always go back to this, after the Bolin family finally decided to sell the team to someone that knows what they're doing. You know, Pat Bolin was one of the greatest, you know, owners in NFL history. But his family are idiots.
Wow. I mean, he's a swung for the fences with that one.
No, no. I look at it like this. Okay, Pat had Alzheimer's during Super Bowl 50. Okay. He died not too long afterwards. Now, it's disgusting that Jerry Jones got into the Hall of Fame before he did, considering the amount of wins the Broncos had under his ownership. Okay. But it is what it is. He got in the next year, which is fine. But he was already gone by that time.
Speaking of Hall of Fame stuff, I have it right here in my hand. I'm going to throw some names out here.
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
Ken Anderson.
He should be in.
He's not in.
He should be.
He's one of the 60 for the senior committee that's coming up in 2024.
Oh, you're gonna bring up one name. I know that you're going to get my opinion on.
Go on. Get to it. Otis Anderson.
Absolutely.
Carl Banks.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought CB was in.
Nah.
Oh, wow.
Think of a Washington Redskins, Larry Brown, running back.
No.
Mark Clayton, receiver. It's going to get better when you hear some of the other ones. Roger Craig.
He deserves,
first 1,000.
That's true. All right, he's in my consideration list.
Okay. Henry Ellard, wide receiver.
No. None of the stats.
Randy Gradishaw. Let's get to that one.
Okay. A guy that led the NFL and the AFL for a little while, and then the NFL. He wasn't AFL. He was all NFL. He had more tackles than the Steelers linebackers did during their Super Bowl runs in the 70s. Yep. You want to know why he was passed over? A, he played for Denver. Okay. They had two playoff teams, and then they kind of went south until Elway got there. All right. But Randy Gradishaw was the glue of that Orange Crush defense. Him and Tom Jackson.
Yeah, okay. 74 to 83. That's what they got on here. And he was defensive player of the year in 78.
Yep. So, you know, 74 and 72 was the merger, right?
A little bit before that.
Okay. So, yeah. Randy Gradishaw, I mean, the fact he's not in the Hall of Fame is just a travesty.
Oh, it gets worse. Lester Hayes.
I like Lester. For a Raider, I like Lester.
But
Lester, he was a sweet player. But
with all that stick him all over there. Yeah.
He taught this young boy how to cheat. I mean, not cheat. I never cheated at football. But no, Lester Hayes deserves to be in there, I think.
Chris Hinton, the guard from Baltimore and the Colts. Joe Jacoby,
yes. Absolutely. One of the Hogs. Absolutely.
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
You got to be kidding. I thought he was in.
No, mainly like a receiver and punt returner, kick returner. They don't get any love. None.
That's true.
Because if that was the case, Delvin Hester would have been in a long time ago. Or Brian Mitchell, too.
Oh, God, Brian, one of the only Redskins I actually truly liked.
Mike Ken, tackle, Alabama, not Alabama, from he played with Atlanta Falcons.
No.
Bob Kuchenberg.
The Cooch? Yeah. No, but I love Cooch.
Ah, George Koontz, he's a tackle with Atlanta. Albert Lewis, the other corner.
Oh, yes. Albert. Yep.
And the Raiders.
Yep. He was good. I'm not going to say he's great, but he's good.
Here's another one, a kick in the butt. Jim Marshall.
You got to be kidding. Oh, that's – well, you want to know what Marshall – okay. As a former Viking, you should probably know why he never made it to the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't.
One play. It was one play.
Ah, man, people do a lot worse than running the wrong way.
I understand that. I understand that. But that's – he might get in now because no one remembers it.
And he has 130 sacks.
Yeah, I know. He's a great player. I love Jim Marshall.
There's another one, Clay Matthews Jr., the father of Clay Matthews.
You mean senior?
I mean senior.
Yeah. Clay Matthews. Yeah, he should be in there. Great offensive lineman.
Steve McMichael.
Mongo?
Yeah.
We were just talking about them a second ago, but no. He was the weak link of that Bears offense, defense, I mean.
Oh, man, you going like that?
No, and plus, hey, plus he was a WCW wrestler. I was NWO all the way, all right?
Really?
Wolfpack, baby. Anyway.
Stanley Morgan, wide receiver, New England.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that name in forever. I don't think he had a great player. I'm not sure if he has the stats.
He has 10,000 yards receiving back then.
In New England.
In New England.
Back then. Okay, so, get him in. Get him in.
Posted the most yards per reception, 19.2 in NFL history, with people more than 500 career reception.
Okay, get him in there.
Tommy Novus, linebacker. He should have been a long time ago. He was great at the University of Texas.
Yeah.
Great down there, you know, with Atlanta, even though he sucked.
He was one of the first players where there was an actual feud between the AFL and the NFL to sign him.
Yeah, he was good. This guy was really good.
Yeah, really good.
Oh, here goes a good one. Sterling Sharp.
You know that tears at my heartstrings, right? You know that because of his brother. And if you ever saw the Hall of Fame video that
I watched it a thousand times.
Yeah, that Shannon put together. I don't care how big of a man you are, you start to cry when you watch him talk about his brother. I say because Brett Favre would not have had the career and learned the professional side of the game had it not been for Sterling Sharp.
And he only played 7 years. That was it.
I know. But look at those 7 years.
Yeah, he was great for all of it.
Yeah.
Steve Tasker, wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner.
No.
Otis Taylor, wide receiver, Kansas City back in the day.
Back before my time, I can't really comment on that.
He should have been.
He probably should have been, yeah.
Everson Walls,
No.
Now, let's get to the coaching contributors list. They also have that.
Okay.
We're going to start this. Bud Adams. Founder, president of the Texans and Oilers franchise.
Absolutely. Great owner.
George Seifert.
No. He inherited a team and a system. No.
You're going to like this one. Mike Shanahan.
Okay. Now, I've had a lot of time to think about this one. My problems with Mike Shanahan were at his end of his run in Denver, where he decided that he was bigger than the players. Because when Plummer took them to the AFC Championship game, mm-hmm. and they lost to Pittsburgh. Okay, people were talking about how great Plummer was. Next thing you know, he drafts Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler is no Jake Plummer, and Jake Plummer was a hell of a player. But take that away, as an assistant coach, as a head coach, he deserves consideration.
He won 178 games.
Yeah, he did.
And 144.
Yep. Good coach.
Let's see. Jim Tunney. He's an official on there.
Yeah.
Rune Arledge from ABC Sports.
Okay, yeah. Sure, why not?
Tom Coughlin.
Ooh, Herr Coughlin? See how? I mean, sorry, you can edit that out. But yeah, Herr Coughlin. Get him in. He deserves it. He really does.
Here's a good one. And you know this guy, Alex Gibbs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He should go talk about a lot of these guys, like a lot of coaches too, man. He was 40 years they got out here. He was an offensive line coach for
One of the best offensive line coaches of all time.
Oh, yeah. Mike Holmgren.
Not yet.
Nah. Here we go. Because he's the owner of the team. You know they always have to put one of their own in. Robert Kraft.
Let's move on to the next one, please.
Yeah, me too. Virginia McCaskey, the owner of
the Bears.
There you go. She just turned 100 January 5th.
Oh, God bless her. Put her in.
Rich McKay, general manager of Tampa Bay.
Mm. That one, I mean, oh, my God. The creamsicles, come on. Just for the creamsicle uniforms alone, Byron. Get them in there.
John McVay. Sean McVay's grandfather. He was the 49ers director during all that heyday.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Art Modell.
Yeah, just because of what he did with the Browns, even when Elway was treating Marty Schottenheimer like his sidekick, but you know, he still brought something. He brought the football back to Baltimore, a team that was robbed their team, and I don't like their fans, but they are good fans. That's, I think, fair. Armadale, yeah, he gets a pass from me.
Dan Reeves.
Why do you got to do this to me, man?
I'm sorry, man. I'm just being what's on here, man. I'm not, no killer messenger.
Yeah, I know. Dan Reeves. Oh my goodness. You know, absolutely should be in. He took teams with one player to three Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Elway was the team.
Yeah. Let's see. Art Rooney Jr. He's not in. Might as well be with his father.
Yeah. But that's nepotism in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man. Marty Schottenheimer.
Nope.
Man, that was crazy.
And Marty gets some love from me.
And John Wooten. He was the director of pro scouting for the Dallas Cowboys for 1,000 years. I met him, you know, back in the day. Nice man. I think he should be in.
Okay, I'll go with you on that one.
That's that.
All right. Well, you know, when we talk about Hall of Fame, you know, and this is where it's one of those things where we talked about legacy earlier in the show. You know, anybody gets in the Hall of Fame, their legacy is here. And there are a couple names in there that should be in there. You mentioned Joe Jacoby, probably the most underrated member of the Hogs. But, God, he was just a vicious offensive line.
He was huge.
Yeah.
He was a big dude.
You know, you mentioned Kenny. I still can't believe Kenny Anderson is not in there.
I would call him like the godfather of the West Coast offense, because that's where it started with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
For him not to be in,
that's a shame.
Stabler, you know, they wait till the guy died, you know, for him to get in finally.
They did put Stabler in there, right?
Yeah, he got it.
Okay, yeah. I always thought that was a shame because the snake was. Let me tell you a story about one day I showed up at my my uncle's house wearing a Raiders t-shirt. He wouldn't let me in the house. So, you know, because I love Kent Stabler. The snake was like one of those guys, a lefty, and, you know, in an offense designed for a right-handed player, because they still flowed for a right-handed quarterback, and he just did the other thing, and it was just amazing to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I watched the 1977 AFC Championship game the other night. It just because, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, I want to see Craig Morton again. But then I'm watching Ken Stabler play. And I'm like, you know, this game should have been over at halftime. And Stabler kept them in the game. And it was tight all the way to the end. Playing against that Orange Crush defense that, let's face it, no one in the AFC could fight. Now, Dallas beat us. But, you know, that's another story for another time. We'll leave that one.
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm trying to think of what else we got tonight, Byron. We still got a few minutes left to make up an hour. Vic said he was going to stop by.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So what do you got going on? Anything big?
Nah, well, it's been kind of a bad week. because two friends, you know, all the time, two friends, you know, that I've known since 10, 11, 12, you know, passed away like back to back. Lance Nelson, you know, guy I played basketball with, you know, in high school, you know, great guy, you know, he was a reverend, you know, he just, you know, he was a great guy. You know, I saw him, you know, last year sometime. And then Chucky, Jesus, Chucky Jimenez is another one.
Oh, any guy with the name Chucky? Come on.
Yeah. He, another good guy, man. He was a postman at Birth Damn Boy, too. And, you know, he passed away, you know, a couple of days, too. And they got, you know, services for him, you know, this weekend up here.
You heading up?
Yeah, you know, condolences, you know, to both families, you know, the Nelson family and the Jimenez. Yeah, I'll be up there and, you know, Birth Damn Boy on Sunday. So that's what
You have my condolences for your friends. You know, any loss is tough, but you know, we're both at that age now where it's becoming more commonplace for people to go. You know, we lost Coach Caprero last year, and that affected me. But before that, we lost another guy named Chris Hamler. You probably never met, never heard of. He was another one of me and Vic's attorney brothers. Good dude, you know, good health, and he just went. You know, that's why my wife forced me to go to the cardiologist. That's why I'm down to 215 from 260. So,
wow, man, good for you, man. Yeah. Good job.
Well, you know, I went to my cardiologist and I told him what my exercise regimen, and he goes, "Yeah, I'm doing about 3 to 4 miles a day." He goes, "That's great." I said, "Yeah, tell that to my orthopedic guy, because he's really kind of ticked off at you right now." But this is a weird request out of nowhere. My boss has started watching the podcast. She's in Texas. You know, we didn't badmouth the Cowboys too bad tonight, so hopefully she's still around. But she wanted us to talk about, I don't know if you ever heard of them, the Savannah Banana Slugs, or the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, that minor league team down there with the owner that does all the crazy things.
Yeah, it's basically pretty cool. Yeah, it's basically the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball.
Yeah.
So anyone watching, guys, check out their stuff on YouTube. We're not sponsoring them or anything that's sponsoring us, but it's just fun stuff to watch. It's sports related. Real quick about baseball. You know, I don't follow it that close. Okay. I was a season ticket holder down in Baltimore for a while back in the 90s. But then, you know, we moved to Florida and all that, and I kind of lost interest. I looked up today. The O's are in second place in the AL East. Yeah. What the heck's going on in the world?
Because they have all those young guys that really want to play baseball. Their payroll is not like the New York Yankees, Victor's team, or the Stankies.
Oh, yeah, them.
And,
yeah,
and the New York Mets, who's, you know, payroll is like blown out of the water, you know, where, you know, their owner had to have a meeting with them, you know, because he's disgusted with, you know, the way they're playing pretty much. But the Baltimore, you know, they're back.
All right. I might actually go down to see a game down at Camden Yards.
I went to an All-Star game there 1 year.
Oh, I was there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was what, 93, 94?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
I was there too, man. I was there for the home run derby.
Did you see me? I waved at you.
Yeah, I waved at you too, Byron. Hey, I know that I don't know him yet, but I'm gonna eventually. So that's Byron. But yeah, no, yeah, home run derby. Saw Michael Jordan hit one out of the park, the celebrity home run derby. That was kind of cool. Of course, the pitch was what, 35 miles an hour?
Pretty much. Like
even I could hit that. Yeah. So
I don't know if I hit it that deep though.
That's true. My swing isn't that big. So, all right. Well, you know, so Carrie, we talked about the Savannah Bananas. You can get off my back. I'm just kidding. My boss is great. She really is. So I wanted to give her one shout out. Uncle Eric, you know,
Eric.
Keep healing. You know, we're all thinking of you. Vic, you know, we're still thinking about you and your family as always. You know, this tough time. You know, it looks like the tribute to Vic's dad was fantastic the other day. I hope they got some solace from it. You know, anytime you lose a family member, especially one you're that close to, it has an impact. So, Vic, we're thinking of you. Byron, do you want to do the outro with who we're supporting, who we want to donate to?
Again, we have changed again. We are supporting the Wounded Warrior Foundation. That is what, you know, give and give. You know, dig deep down in those pockets and give. You know, it's a great organization. It's been around a long time. know, my sister, you know, who was in, you know, the military as well, you know, was a supporter, you know, US, you know, former US Marine. No, not former, US, just US Marine. They're always Marines. They're never former, never whatever. They're never. Oh, that's a bad word. I don't know what I was thinking of.
But I'm not going to tell her you said that, but I'm going to tell her you said that.
I'm sure she's looking. She probably.
All right. All right. Yeah. Anything you can give. Yeah. Anything you give to Wounded Warrior, you know, they do fantastic work. My wife only has two bumper stickers on her car. One is for adopting pets, which, you know, I'm big into.
Yeah, mine, you know, right there.
Yep, right there. So, but, and the other one is Wounded Warrior, because it's something that is near to dear in both of us, you know, veterans who have sacrificed themselves for our freedoms. And we want to make sure that, you know, they have the resources they need to continue, you know, being productive, and we really respect them and all. I guess we're going to cut it short here, Byron. That's all right. We had some technical difficulties earlier tonight, guys. Sorry about that. It's all Byron's fault. But it actually could be mine, because I was the one in charge of hosting tonight. So anyway, Byron, what do you? I'm going to do the Santiago thing. People want to get a hold. You know what you're doing. Where do they go?
Go on Facebook. I'm always doing something, the memes or whatever, the stupid things I put on there. Yeah. Or just my phone number's on. Yeah, just pick up the phone, just call me the phone. I don't care.
Yeah, and Byron has a weird obsession with Mr. Bean, so I'm just letting you people know that.
Mr. Bean and Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, yes. Guys, I don't have really, I mean, Byron knows my social media. It's barely anything. All I do is repost some of his stuff and stuff about lost animals. So, but anyway, guys, thank you very much. Once again, you know, Jersey Boar Sports Talk is brought to you by our good friends at Sportscast. We're here every Thursday night at what time, Byron?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Yeah.
We're close. This is the Perth Amboy Education.
Okay. We'll go with that. All right. So, and once again, you know, we're on all your streaming services, Spotify. Just hit, or as Vic says, smash the subscribe button. Make sure you join us. And on Apple, it's do a search for Jersey Boys Sports Talks podcast. Yeah, it's long. It's Apple, but what do you expect? That's why I'm a droid guy. But all right, guys. Well, thank you very much, Byron. Always good to see you. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you again, you know, for helping out.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
you know, for running this ship.
Yeah, I hope I didn't run it into an iceberg.
No,
Titanic or sub references. We're gonna leave that alone. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you all very much for joining us, and everyone have a safe weekend. And if you're in the Northeast or Southwest or Southeast, try to stay cool. It's not gonna get any better over the next week until probably Wednesday. So, Byron, once again, thank you. Take care, everybody.